Was that a bit of a misstep in your kitchen the other month, saying that you've had enough and you're off?
No, I don't think it was, and I certainly haven't had enough. What I said was that I'd serve a full second term, so I'm halfway through 10 years as Prime Minister. I've got an immense passion for the job and the things that we are doing. I leap out of bed every day, knowing what an honour it is to do this. But I do think, Nick, you know, 10 years is a long time as Prime Minister, and I think after that people will be ready for somebody new.
Your boys are fighting this morning, George Osborne and Boris Johnson, claiming that they came up with various policies. What are you going to do about this tension between the two?
There isn't tension. I mean, this is not a sort of Blair Brown situation where everyone's at their throats. Boris, George and I all work very closely together. We get on well together. And I think you can see that. I mean, look at the way London has been run. There's not been a battle between Boris the Mayor and George the Chancellor or me the Prime Minister. We've delivered key things like funding Crossrail, like making sure London streets are safe, investing in infrastructure. It's been a combined effort and we work very well together.
But Boris Johnson is saying it's wonderful to see the London agenda being rolled out across the country. The only type of crime currently going up in London is the theft of City Hall policies. Brackets by George Osborne.
But I mean, that's great, isn't it? That
is it?
Boris is coming up with good ideas and we're applying them in the rest of the country. And I dare say some of the ideas we come up in the rest of the country, Boris does in London. That's what, you know, look, one of the things I thought George said in his speech yesterday that's so interesting is we should be the ones in politics, you know, who are proud when we get it right, admit when we get it wrong, recognise other people have good ideas and where they do, take them up. So the idea of a national infrastructure commission and getting Lord Adonis, a Labour transport minister, to come and run it, I think that shows an openness to ideas. People all the time these days are talking about new politics. I would say that is a real new politics, which is not thinking you've got all the answers all the time.
What have you got wrong then, if the Conservatives are about admitting sometimes you get things wrong? What have you got wrong recently, Prime Minister?
Well, I look back and think, you know, one of the things that we really needed to do in the last Parliament was get the housing market moving, and I think actually Help to Buy did that. If I had my time over again, I wish we'd introduced it even quicker, because I think it was necessary to put some pretty strong electrodes under the housing market to get it moving. But there are plenty of biographies about me coming out, and they've all got a few comments on things I got right and things I got wrong, so I'll leave it to the biographers.
Yes, and they're full of lies as well in many instances. Now, you mentioned George, or the Chancellor as I know him. He seems to be in charge of everything. He was talking about the Northern Powerhouse, he was talking about the building, he's involved in the European negotiations. Does he let you have a look in every now and again, Prime Minister?
No, look, it's a very, you know, he is a strong Chancellor, and that, I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't want, as Chancellor, someone who just counts the numbers and makes them add up. You know, we run the government very much as a team. You've got Theresa May, who's been Home Secretary for 5 years. You've got Philip Hammond, a very strong Foreign Secretary. But George and I have been working together for 10 years now as Shadow Chancellor and Leader, and now as Prime Minister and Chancellor. And the fact we work so closely together and we do work as a team, I think that is a strength, frankly, of government rather than anything else. So I'm glad that he's a big and powerful figure who wants to do things other than just simply the tax and spending decisions.
You say you jump out of bed every morning with a spring in your step. Do you have Chinese blood then? You are working as hard as the Chinese, as Jeremy Hunt suggested.
I think, actually, Nick, if you read what Jeremy said in full, you'll see
that
it's
been... I've never done that, Prime Minister.
Let's have the top line,
come on.
My reaction was, like everybody else's, you read the top line, and I thought, oh, hello, what's going on here? I then actually read what he said in full, and I can see what he was trying to say, and Jeremy's come out very clearly and clarified that, which is, look, we want Britain to be one of the success stories in the world, and British people do work incredibly hard. In fact, we've got the greater percentage of our country in work, both men and women, than at any time in our history. So I think when you look at everything he said, it wasn't quite what people are saying.
When are we going to have our Euro vote?
We're going to have it when I've completed my renegotiation. The drop-dead date, as it were, is the end of 2017. But I can't say any more than that because I'm in the middle of negotiating away.
So when will you be happy to actually put it out to the people?
I'll be happy once I've got the deal I want from Brussels, which is addressing those issues that people think, and I think, need fixing in Europe. You know, let's get out of ever closer union and confirm that it's the common market that we're most interested in. Let's make sure Europe is a source of growth and jobs and competitiveness because we're signing trade deals with the rest of the world. Let's make sure, you know, we have a greater right to alter our welfare system here so it's not an unnecessary draw of people to our shores. Address these issues and some others I've mentioned, and we'll have a good deal. Once we've got that deal, I can announce a referendum and we can and get on with it.
Talking about matters European, how will you feel if, as is being suggested, likely, it's decreed that prisoners can have the vote, Prime Minister? In the past, you've said it makes you feel physically sick.
Well, I haven't changed my view at all. I mean, what's happening today is a court case about a situation in France. Our own law has been tested recently, and our Supreme Court opined that our law was right and prisoners shouldn't have the vote, and that's my view.
So you would be forced, though, would you, if this does go that way?
Well, we don't know what the court case is, we don't know what the outcome is, but I'm very clear, prisoners shouldn't get the vote, and it's a matter for the British Parliament. The British Parliament has spoken, the Supreme Court in Britain has spoken, so I'm content to leave it there.
You talk about your close working relationship with Chancellor George Osborne. It's fair to say, then, he's your chosen successor?
No, it's not for me to choose a successor. It will be, we have a system where members of Parliament vote and choose two candidates, and then members of our party vote and choose the eventual winner. That's how my successor will be chosen, and it's certainly not a coronation, and it's not my choice.
You know, you candidly admitted now that the Conservatives should look to other policies and should admit when they get things wrong. Did you get it wrong promising to try and limit net migration to the tens of thousands, Prime Minister?
No, I think it was
and is the right...
Sir. No, it is the right objective for this reason.
Yes,
that
but
I believe...
the language you employed, would you concede that was a mistake?
Oh, no, what I said is I thought the right objective for Britain was to be an open country that accepts people coming here, not least because we're a country where many of our own citizens go and live elsewhere. So it's right to concentrate on net migration. That's how best to measure the pressure on public services, on hospitals and schools, that people and that I'm so concerned about. So it's the right measure. But obviously, we have failed to meet the target, not least because we've created more jobs than the rest of Europe put together. So we need to further control immigration from outside the European Union. Theresa May's closed down about 800 bogus colleges, but as she'll say today in her speech, there's more work to be done. And in Europe, we need, as I've said, to have greater control of our welfare system so that you can't come to Britain and on day one, you know, your first year in work, claim something like £10,000 of in-work benefits.
All right, just lastly, Prime Minister, as you will be aware, sadly, England crashed out of the World Cup. To whom now do you switch your support? I imagine Scotland, because of your dad.
I've been going around this conference, and I went to the Northern Irish fringe meeting, the Scottish fringe meeting, and the Welsh fringe meeting. At each one, I said, look, at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, I became a Welsh or an Irish or a Scottish rugby fan.
Well, that's them doomed as well.
No, certainly not. Look, gosh, that annoys me so much. I mean, I was in the Olympic
Park.
Every
time you support a team, it goes...
That is nonsense. No, let
belly
me just
up. I nearly
hold
said
on a second.
Then.
Hang
Oops,
on a second.
I'm in trouble
who was
now.
Prime Minister this summer when we won the Ashes? Thank you very much. I was Prime Minister when we had the best ever haul of Olympic gold medals.
Didn't you support there are a few things team, that... Sir?
Look, I always support England, and we don't always win. You know, shock, horror, surprise, Nick. But no, I shouldn't let these things annoy me. But I was there on the great night when Mo Farah won gold twice. So I've witnessed some great sporting triumphs.
So it's not the curse of Cameron.
There is no curse. It's probably the curse of Ferrari.
It probably is. And Stuart Lancaster must go, lastly, Prime Minister?
Not a matter for me. I appoint my cabinet. Someone else appoints the head of English rugby football.
Yes.
Look, I know how
Boris.
Sad the team must. Boris was a very good. I think he was a tight head prop. I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
And he likes rugby analogies, as we know.
He does.
So
he does.
The ball. I don't know whether he still plays.
Yeah. Good. I don't think he's good at it. I must let you go, Prime Minister. Thank you.
Hard to believe, but
you were
smaller
in the.
Yeah, I was.
Really?
I was tiny wee when I was 13, and so.
You were never in the same scrum as Boris, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, he was a very good rugby player, and I was pretty mediocre.
Well, he was a very dirty rugby player. I've already researched him, and I've challenged him about that. He nearly got sent off on a couple of occasions, but that's another... Yes, you see, there
Well, anyway, now we are bound together as if in a scrum.
And heaving in the same direction with the ball exactly
where you want it.
Pulling in the
same direction, the ball at our feet.
And the opposition retreating at a great pace, heading for the goal line. I'll let you move on. Thank you, Prime Minister David Cameron, joining us here on LBC.